this. Louise, we're going to move on to the hate crime legislation, which has been debated in the Seanad today. Remind us about the controversy, I suppose, surrounding the bill. It was doing grand till it hit the Seanad, and then it started to get bogged down.
Yeah, a lot of senators reminding the public, and indeed I think Minister McEntee today, of the importance of the Seanad, and this would have gotten through if it wasn't for the Seanad without much scrutiny, which I'm not sure what that says about their colleagues in the Dáil, but how and ever. So this initially came to the Seanad late last year, late in the Dáil term, just gone, and it was held up and there was questions raised about some parts of the legislation. Helen McEntee in recent weeks said that some parts of it, predominantly the hate speech part of the legislation, there wasn't enough consensus on it. So she wanted to get the other parts of this bill through, which are around incitement to violence. And she said that she would take out the hate speech bill and you'd come back to it at a later stage. So the kind of the gist of what will go through as part of this bill is that there will be higher sentences for certain crimes where it's proven that hatred is the motivation behind those crimes, and that obviously still has to be proven in a court of law, but it's to protect, Minister McEntee says, people with certain characteristics, be that their race, be that their gender, be that their sexuality. There's a whole list of characteristics, and it got through the Seanad. There was a little bit of debate on it. In particular, there was a little bit of a debate about the definition of gender, because under the gender characteristic, it says what a person expresses as a person's preferred gender, or the gender with which the person identifies, which includes transgender and a gender other than those of male and female. And there's a bit of questioning back and forth about, well, you know, what other gender is there other than male or female? Like, take transgender out of it, what are the other genders? And there was, you know, contributions from Sharon Keoghan, who actually stood up at one point with a list.
All right, well, I think we have a bit of that, just to give listeners an example of that particular contribution.
Lustre gender, lux gender, Magro gender, Magno gender, Magpie gender, Malu gender, Maple gender, Marin gender, Mass gender, Mass gender, Masson gender, Matique gender, Maxi gender, Meand gender, Me Chan gender, Midi N gender, Mel Odi gender, Miss Diaz gender, Maya gender, Mayage gender, My O Mimo gender, Molt gender.
The senator trying to make the point that the number of genders is infinite, in which case we may be here for a very long time.
And that contribution was brought to you by the letters L and M. Louise, was there a heated debate in the Seanad? Was it fairly robust? It has been in the past.
It has been robust. I suppose in the end, the support wasn't there for the people who were against the hate speech bill and the hate crime. There was quite a significant mobilisation online. I know there was some people outside the Dáil protesting this as well. There was a robust debate back and forth. Ronan Mullen, the senator, said at one point, you know, why are we creating a tier of victimhood? You know, why should one person, a crime committed against one person because of, you know, a certain characteristic, why should that be more punished more severely than any other crime committed against you or me? And what Minister McEntee kind of said in response is that there are people who are being targeted because she brought up transgender people, and she was reciting instances of which transgender people have been targeted and which violent acts have been carried out against them. It perhaps wasn't as heated as you may have thought. There was a few argy-bargies, but they were, you know, they were few and far between, but there was kind of just a lot of room for people to talk. I felt there was no one being interrupted. Everyone was kind of allowed to have their peace.
All right. Malcolm Byrne, you're in the Senate. I suppose leaving the hate speech aspect of it to one side, which seems to have been parked for the moment, what's your attitude to the bill overall?
So I think one of the things that's being forgotten about in this is, why do we need this legislation? And the reality is that there are crimes being committed, and an aggravating factor in that is because of somebody's identity or perceived identity. We know people who are being targeted in this country because of their race and because of their sexual orientation. And what this legislation will provide, and it is still a requirement that you have to go to court, that where it can be proven, and the criminal requirement for proof is beyond a reasonable doubt, that an aggravating factor in the commission of the crime, and quite frequently this can be an assault, that if an aggravating factor is based on hate, then you can receive a more serious sentence. And unfortunately, we have seen an increase in some of these hate crimes. I know people who have been targeted and who have been victimised because they're gay or even perceived to be gay and because of the colour of their skin. I mean, it was rather unfortunate, some of the debate that, you know, was happening in the Shannon, because there was a lot of misinformation and disinformation being spread. And I really think that we need to look at, you know, those who are victims of crimes, because at the end of the day, it is about trying to protect victims when we end up going into court. I think that the language sometimes used is unfortunate because, you know, there's nothing and there is no effort on the part of the state to prohibit hate speech. But what there is an
except
effort,
in the incitement to hatred.
Yeah, yeah. But that's actually what we're trying to deal with. It's incitement to hatred. So there is no. I mean, I had this argument with Sharon Keoghan before. You know, she has held and uttered some pretty discriminatory views about particular groups. And I've said, you know, there's absolutely...
She has views that you would deem such, and you know, she's not here to defend herself.
My point is that I would defend her right to hold those views. Where it stretches over the line, though, is where it is incitement to hatred. We've also addressed some of this when we chat with some of the social media companies. I mean, there's an irony about Elon Musk threatening to take the state... you know, to court or support.
For the record, we're not saying on this program that her views have stretched over the line into incitement to hatred. You're just saying
my point is, if you look at community standards on X, if they were ever enforced, talk precisely about posts on X which encourage incitement to hatred. And I think this is something that when we're having this debate, and I think most reasonable people look at this. Everyone is entitled to express their own views freely. If they want to hold views I may find odious or others, they are perfectly entitled to do it. It's where they encourage people on foot of those views to take action against particular minorities, where they say, go and attack somebody because of their race, go and attack somebody because of their sexual orientation.
Pad Daly, there's incitement to hatred legislation already there. Incitement to violence arguably is covered to a certain degree under public order legislation, but hate speech, do you know what you mean by it and do you support legislating against it?
Well, of course, it was an interesting case also, which is this morning, about the fake or the misleading post that about the man who was on the bus in Wicklow. And I suppose a lot of the legislation has been trawled through to find a suitable piece of legislation to bring a prosecution against the person who put completely false and misleading information up and arguably did incite hatred.
We're not going to litigate a case to bring
the charge. It's all a question of striking the right balance here. As a party in Sinn Féin, of course, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here 30 or 40 years ago because we weren't allowed to go on TV or radio. And members of our party, up to and including Martin Kenny, who was targeted because of comments that he had made. But the hate speech has been parked now, and what we're left with is... And I remember being struck.
So sorry, just the distinction is Section 31 of the Broadcasting Act, which was a government rule rather than a rule implemented by broadcasters. Mm-hmm. The National Union of Journalists actually objected to that. You're saying censorship can go too far, effectively, but some protection needs to be offered.
Correct, and it's a question of striking the right balance. And I remember being struck by a group that came into Leinster House of foreign students in Ireland, and the racist attacks and physical attacks that they have had to undergo. And there's no doubt. From across community and various different groups that there is a need for hate crime legislation in this country. Now, I would have some slight concerns about the parts of the bill that remain. Introducing a hate crime element into a minor public order offence, I fear for the consequences of that, because the people that I saw coming before the courts for many, many years. You know, young single males, in particularly from working class communities, they are the people who might end up under severe consequences, even for threatening, abusive or insulting words or behaviour under Section 6 of the Public Order Act, of that staying with you for many, many years. Okay. As because of, you know, Garda vetting legislation, don't have any difficulty with the assaults and the criminal damage. And this bill, at least, will make a statement in relation to it. It's unfortunate, unlike in the previous legislation that we've been speaking about, where the minister took on board many of the amendments that we had and that other opposition parties had. Unfortunately, with this bill, I remember Simon Harris coming into the Justice Committee, and he said that the minister will surely take on board many of the concerns that were here. Nothing happened. Well, and we ended up where we are then.
Sinn Féin did support the passage of this through the Dáil, it is worth saying. And when it was going through the Dáil, it was supported. And it was only when it got to the Seanad and, you know, the kind of the public opposition to this started coming out, and there was questions raised about it in the Seanad. And it wasn't just Sinn Féin that raised questions about it in the Seanad. Some Fianna Fáil senators did as well. But it is worth noting that, you know, this passed through the Dáil without any questions, and it was kind of really only when it got to the Seanad and a lot of commentary started about it online that the questions about it really started.
No, there was plenty of commentary before it got there, and we were given assurances, or at least we were led to believe that some amendments would be taken. And it does happen often that it might not be a great piece of legislation, but it can be subject to amendment, like the gambling bill, which is a much improved bill from when it first came into the Dáil, because Minister James Brown listened.
We're going to hear from something that was in front of the Tourism, Sports and Media Committee today, but what's your own view on the legislation as it's currently found? Would you like to have seen a hate speech element, or are you happy that can be pushed,
I think
a contentious issue can be left aside, and can be passed?
We're unhappy that was left aside. I think it's a stretch for Pat to say that when this left the Dáil, we thought that there'd be, you know, amendments and it would come back. Like, everyone thought this was going to go through, that this wouldn't be delayed that long in the Seanad. But what happened in the UK or in Scotland,
this is over the gender recognition bill in Scotland. Yeah.
And then the furore that then came here, and the pressure that came on, that stalled it in the Seanad. I think the minister actually has made a bit of a hames of it with their own amendments in terms of the new act compared to the 1989 act. The initial intention was for the new act to repeal the 1989 act, but with the amendments brought in the Seanad, they're actually going to sit side by side, and there's actually different definitions of what's going to be covered, which are going to sit side by side. So there's a heap of technical problems with this, but the government really, really lost their bottle on this, and we have groups in this country, minority groups, vulnerable groups, who wanted to see something on hate speech, who now feel a bit left, who feel left behind, and are experiencing hate speech every day of the week.
And then there's people who deal with, you know, who look at extremism and its role in society, and one of them is the Institute of Strategic Dialogue. As I say, they were in front of the Tourism, Sport and Media Committee today, and we're just going to hear a clip of Aoife Gallagher from the Institute of Strategic Dialogue on being asked about whether or not, in her view, there should be hate speech legislation or something like it.
We released a bit of research a couple of weeks ago looking at, we documented incidents of anti-migrant violence over the space of 3.5 months. We documented over 60 incidents, and these are not just like people saying bad words online. These are all offline incidents, and they are horrific. They are really, really horrible, horrible incidents. And we're only scratching the surface of what we're seeing, right? So we're only seeing what's posted online, right? Again, there's a kind of playbook here, right? So the people that do this will go out on the street, they'll film the confrontation, most horrific confrontation they'll find, they'll post it online. That gets fed into an online ecosystem that is then kind of also shared internationally by kind of far-right figures internationally as well. All of these videos are consistently inciting hate and violence towards migrants and asylum seekers. These people post these videos online under their own names. Like, consistently under their own names, they are posting evidence of themselves committing these crimes, and nothing is being done about it. So there's obviously something missing there. Either it's enforcement of the legislation that we have, or we need something else.
That was Aoife Gallagher from the Institute of Strategic Dialogue there. Malcolm Byrne, something is needed, and the government blanched in the face of largely online opposition and some dissenting voices in the Seanad, do you think?
No, I disagree. So I'm vice chair of the committee, which is responsible for media and sport. And interestingly, even when we had some of the discussions around tackling abuse in sport, the GAA came in before us and we discussed in the circumstances there, and people may remember the abuse that Lee Chin, the Wexford hurler, an all-round sportsman, received. The GAA took action on the basis of the abuse that was hurled at him and banned the spectator for 48 months from GAA games. And they said that they would like stronger legislation put in place.
All right, but I do think, you know, did the temperature change on the hate speech legislation post the referendums?
I think it's probably fair to say that the temperature may have changed in terms of some of the debate. I think there's still a determination to address some of these issues. I would agree with Duncan. I think we do need, we will need to revise some of this. I think what's also going to be interesting is very shortly, the new online safety codes are about to be published by the Online Safety Commissioner, which will address, hopefully, some of the behaviours online that we're talking about, because it will put pressure on the platforms, the online platforms,
We do have one more topic to get to before we go on. That's the social welfare bill, but we're going to take a quick break before that. We're back in a minute.